everyone, and welcome into Texans Weekly. I'm Patty Smith, and we've got an action-packed 30 minutes in store for you ahead. In fact, we'll sit down with General Manager Rick Smith, as we always do. Our John Harris has a chance to catch up with Head Coach Bill O'Brien. They hit the telestrator and break down a couple of the key plays from the big win against the Washington Redskins. Now, the Houston Texans, of course, are 1-0 after that win, heading out to Oakland, who are 0-1, and that's exactly where we are going to start. The Oakland Raiders, an athletic team, a tough team, and never easy to play in the black hole.
There's a lot of great atmospheres in the league, but that's one, and plenty of guys. I'll be talking a lot with Shane Leckler, I'm sure, on some of his experiences there and some of the stuff he's seen, but I played there a few times, and it's always a crazy atmosphere.
The Raiders were my favorite team growing up, so I know all about the culture. I know about how intense the fans are, and win, lose, or draw, they're going to be out there in their spiked shoulder pads and painted faces, and I love that about them, and that's what part of what drew me to them as a child was just seeing that passion that they had for football up there in the Bay Area. And, it's different now. I don't have a favorite football team now. Like, I play for one, so it's different. But, my mother still roots for them when we're not playing them, and so does, a couple of my other family members. So, it's always fun going into the black hole because that's where I wanted to play as a kid.
And, of course, a lot of familiar faces out there in Oakland. We'll get a chance to see Antonio Smith. Matt Schaub will not get the start, but I'm sure everybody will be paying him a little visit saying hello. Of course, Derek Carr will be getting the start, the younger brother of David Carr. And while Derek is just a rookie, he is not to be taken lightly either.
He's a very accurate passer, has a good handle on the offense. You can tell that, obviously, at Fresno and now here in Oakland for a rookie. He's a mature guy. He's got good poise. He's a guy that's going to get better and better each time out there. You know, there's no substitute for experience. You know, being able to go out there and play in the games is such a good thing for a guy like him. So, he's going to make a big jump from week one to week two. He's going to be better because he's going to have a better practice week, and we need to be up to that challenge.
He got a quick release, very mobile, can move around, extend plays. And I think he makes quick decisions and understands where to get the ball to.
I think any time a rookie quarterback is named a starter in the NFL, it shows that his coaches and his teammates have confidence in him. And for you to be able to earn their confidence and trust in such a short amount of time says a lot about you. So they have respect for him and they believe in him. So that says to me that he's done a great job preparing himself. He's done a great job going out to practice every day and executing, and he's done a great job watching film and researching because it's not easy to play in this league.
Yeah, it seems like only yesterday we all remember little Derek Carr out here watching his brother. In fact, there was a youth game out here at halftime against the Mascots, and we have to take a time out here on Texans Weekly, but we're going to leave you with a little bit of that video to look back and remember Derek Carr back in his days here at Houston.
Quarterback for the Texans youth team from Katy is none other than number 8, Derek Carr, the younger brother of David Carr. Fellas, they're 11 and 12-year-olds. Easy. Rolling right, sees a man open, he's got him! Very nicely done. Carr in the shotgun. Bad snap. Look out. Oh, clutch. Clutch.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, Executive Vice President and General Manager of your Houston Texans, Rick Smith. Thanks for being on, as always.
Absolutely.
Let's obviously talk about the big win. Of course, it's been a long time since we've been able to sit here and talk about a win. Just obviously meant a lot to the team and to this entire organization, yourself included.
Well, absolutely. And when you every time we go out, the objective is to win the football game, of course. And so, to go out and have an opportunity to have such a collective team win like that, and when we talk so much about complementary football and one phase taking care of the other phase, and to score on special teams like that, and to play good defense the way we did at the end of the ball game. The offense had to go out and have a sustained drive. They were able to do that. So there were elements to this football game that were good all around the board. Clearly things that we need to improve on, but a really good start.
Well, obviously the loss of Clowney, huge for this team. Nobody wants to see that coming. But from your perspective, when you saw him go out of the game, you know, what goes through your mind and then kind of what transpires for the rest of the week?
Well, obviously you don't want that, especially a young player like that when the best thing for him to do is to play football. And so, you know, obviously he's not going to be available to us for a while, but I'm actually wearing a sports medicine pullover today. We've got an excellent group of doctors and trainers, and so he's in good care. And then as soon as he is on the mend and back out there, he'll be ready to go and help us. But, you know, as you mentioned, the next thing that goes in your mind is what do you do to replace him? And we've got a guy who is a 16-game starter from a year ago. I think he had, you know, 7 or so sacks last year, and 6 is his rookie year in Merciless. And so he's more than capable of replacing, J.D., and we'll keep moving.
Well, just so you know, Dr. Lowe, of course, the team doctor, also did my knee. And I told him when it happened. I said, did you tell J.D. that I didn't miss any time? And he goes, oh, yeah, believe me, I told him.
That's a tough act to follow, Patty. Yeah. It is for anybody.
Let's talk about another guy who made an impact that kind of came out of nowhere, Demaris Johnson. I mean, here's a guy that you put on this squad, and lo and behold, kind of unbeknownst to anyone, he ends up starting, and not only starting, but making an impact.
Well, he's an impact player. He's a guy that has tremendous quickness and speed, and he had some success before as a return guy. Keyshawn did a really nice job for us, and so to have two guys to be able to choose between for that role and the role in the slot, I think will give us a lot of depth at the positions, both those positions, whether it's a punt returner, kick returner, slot receiver. So we've got some versatility and some flexibility, but it's a lot to learn in a week, and so for him to come in and learn a new language, the way that we call plays, our formations, our plays, and to get up to speed that quickly to go out and play was impressive, and I think the young man's got a bright future.
How much does, when you were like looking at the draft, and we're talking about Derek Carnow, for example, you guys probably spent a lot of time breaking down and really kind of knowing a lot about each one of those guys. Now here you are going to playing against a kid like that starting already. How much does that sort of help in game planning?
Well, to a degree it helps, but because at least from a skill set perspective, you know what you think the guy is capable of, and you have some familiarity. The thing about that is, though, the defensive coaches didn't do a lot of that study. And so they've got to go study him just like they would study any quarterback, and certainly if they've got questions that way from a personnel perspective, our scouts are involved in the advanced, part of the game plan. And so anything that they would like to know from a skill set perspective, then we can give them. But they've got to really look at the bulk of the evaluation, and that's from what they see on tape this year.
You were so busy. We talked about this last week, probably as busy as you have been going into a season, but I don't think you've made a move here in the last week to 10 days, kind of like a little respite, a little vacation for you?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I'm always in conversation with the head coach about that. And, we flipped 10% of our roster last weekend, and that was 2 weeks ago, and that was pretty significant. So we've got workouts. We will have workouts all week, and trust and believe if there's a chance for us to get better, we will.
Well, and how does that work for you throughout the course of the season? I mean, whether it's traveling to the different cities and the teams that you're playing, as far as kind of scouting as you go throughout the course of the season?
Well, from a pro perspective, we were always looking at players that are either on other teams' practice squads or that are on the street for workouts, or if there's an injury or a situation that mandates that we make a roster move, that's the pool of players that we look to. But then, for example, this weekend, I will not be on the team charter on Saturday. I'm going to fly commercially earlier so that I can go work the Stanford game. And so I try to coordinate scouting efforts that are convenient to the game that we're playing. If it's a home game, I'll try to get up to College Station over to Austin, those kind of things. And when we play Dallas, I'll go watch TCU play. So I try to do as many of those live exposure games in college, as well as obviously being connected to what's going on the pro side, so that we can manage the roster if the need arises.
So just because we're not seeing it on a transaction report doesn't mean the work's not
working.
Happening. You're
we're
not taking
working.
Any time off. All right, thanks so much, Rick. We've got to take a timeout here on Texans Weekly, but don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll head out to Verizon and catch up with a couple of defensive players. Stay with us.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Now, each and every week, we like to tag along with Texans Radio, and this week is no different. We actually caught up with DP Sidhu and Mark Vandermeer as they hosted Jared Crick and Tim Jamison at the Verizon Wireless store on Post Oak.
How does it feel like, after a couple of days later, you guys finally got that victory that you've been waiting for since last year? I know it's a brand new situation, and, you know, we want to put the past in the past, but I think it was important for historical perspective to point things like that out, that this was such a much needed win for this organization.
Oh, without question. And starting off the week, or starting off the year 1-0, that's crucial for us. Getting off on a good start and you know, getting the ball rolling early. That's what we wanted to do. That's what, you know, the game plan was going in, is let's get this thing started off early and not look back from there. So we're 1-0, you know, got that one over with, and now we're on to Oakland. So looking to keep going.
Yeah, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good.
Wait, did you have to go in for treatment already, then come over here?
Yeah.
So you're already at the stadium this morning?
Yes, sir.
We appreciate that dedication. That is awesome.
Yeah. Anytime.
very good stuff. And treatment, for those who don't know, I mean, you guys are always in for treatments, right? I mean, you're a professional football player, you know, bumps, bruises, whatever. You got to get that stuff worked on all the time.
Exactly. You always got to get maintenance, you know. Of course, we played a tough game, tough win. You got to get maintenance, get ready for the next week.
Hey, Andre Ware and I, we have a lot of names for you. You know, we call you the Terminator, or, you know, whatever. Because here you're in year six of your career. You will not go away, no matter what happens.
I'm sure he likes it phrased that way, too.
But here's the thing. I admire that, right? I mean, you always find a way to be on the roster, to make a contribution. And, you know, what's the key to that, Tim, to surviving and thriving in the NFL the way you have?
I mean, the NFL is the dream come true. You know, I don't want the dream to end, you know. It's about hard work, you know, and never feeling like you arrive. You know, you always want to get better each day. You know, you always want to prove to your coach and your teammates that you're there for them in anywhere they need you. You ready to step in and help the team win.
When this staff took over, what were your initial thoughts, and what did they say to you about what you needed to do to possibly be a part of the 53-man roster?
I mean, you know, it wasn't just to me. It was to everybody. You know, you have an opportunity to come out, you know, and earn a spot. You know, it's about the team first. No individual guys on this team, you know. And if you can prove that you work hard, you want to be here, you're part of the right 53, then you'll be here. And, you know, it's a grind every day, you know. Each week somebody's there trying to take your spot. So, you know, you got to keep pushing yourself to get better each day. So
you've been through a lot of off seasons with this team. Dwayne Brown said last week that this was, for him, probably the toughest off season, the hardest amount of work that they've had to put in, maybe because of all the losses last year, maybe because of the new coaching staff. For whatever reason, it seemed like a really tough training camp, OTAs, everything. Would you agree with that?
I mean, it's always going to be tough, you know, and you're going to compete. You know, we work hard, and we work really hard this offseason, you know.
That's what I've been hearing. Yeah.
You know, we work really hard, and, you know, we worked hard, and we deserve everything that we got coming, you know. We just got to keep pushing ourselves and keep competing against each other. I think that's what probably makes it harder, because we compete and we push each other, you know. We want each other to be best, so we want to compete and push each other to the limit each day.
What about hitting the road, though? You got to look forward to that, because this is, you know, the first road tilt of the season. You were on the road in Denver. It was like a bowl game. You were on the road for that long, but it kind of brings the guys together.
Yeah. Obviously, in the away games, it's only us out there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's us against the world. So that's a time for us to really come together as a team, you know, have each other back, because, you know, like I said, it's us against the world.
Even though that I live in a big city now, it's still nice to kind of go out and, you know, see different things. Not everybody can say that they're going to California 1 week, New York the next, stuff like that, which is really exciting for me. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You hear a lot about Oakland and the black hole, and, you know, you want to go see what it's all about.
Well, the players obviously excited about continuing this winning streak, looking for a second in a row as they head to Oakland. And perhaps no player is more excited about going to Oakland than Shane Lechler. Of course, he spent 13 seasons there as a Raider, and this was a game he had circled on his schedule.
I know I'm going to Oakland this year. I knew that right away. I know I'm going to Oakland, and then I, you know, as veteran kickers and punters do, I looked to see if we had any cold games late, and it looks like we lucked out on that. I know there's only one traveling conflict, I thought, was we go to Oakland, then straight to New York, you know, back-to-back weekend. So, but you know, I did look to that because I was glad to get to play Oakland here last year. Unfortunately, we lost, but now I got to go back to a black hole and play up there. So it'll be mixed emotions.
Well, that was kind of my next question. I mean, any anticipation as to what that's going to be like?
Yeah, I don't know, you know.
Going to the opposite locker room?
I know, opposite locker room, and, you know, I've kicked a lot of footballs in that stadium, and I've still got some good friends on that team with Janikowski and Kondo and some of those guys, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. I still talk to those guys once a week, so it's not like we're going to be strangers, but, you know, there's a lot of people there that I know, and there's a lot of fans that supported me for years, and, you know, I still thank them for all the support they give me, but we're going to try to win the game.
Is that something that you think people kind of underestimate, the, you know, that football is such a business and you get used to at this point seeing players go from team to team, but you guys still, I mean, those guys, granted they're on the other team, but they're still your friends. You still have a community there. You had a life there for so long.
Right. I mean, I did. That was my life for 13 years was, you know, wearing the silver and black and playing at the Coliseum and people hating us, and, you know, and it, the fan base was phenomenal. I mean, it felt like Halloween every Sunday, which was awesome to go be a part of. But I just, you know, hope they understand the respect I have for them, for the support they gave us, the team, you know, through some, you know, a decade of struggling there, you know, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Talk a little bit about that fan base there. And, of course, the Texans have some rabid fans as well, but there's nothing like an Oakland Raider fan.
No, it's a different breed for sure. They are diehards. When they say, you know, when I hear people say I'm a diehard Texan fan or I'm a diehard whatever Giants fan, when a Raider says I'm a diehard Raider fan, then he shows you his huge Raider shield tattoo on his back. Those guys are the real deal. And you know, I love playing here in Houston. I love our fans, but those guys have been around for a long time.
Any guess as to how they'll react to you coming back?
I'm sure it'll be mixed. And it'll be mixed for me too. You know, there's some things that I didn't like at the very end of my last year there. And there's some things I liked. And I'm sure the fans are going to be the same way with me. There's going to be some things they liked about me and some things they didn't. And life goes on. So that's, you know, I think that my career or Raider career ended when it needed to.
All right, we have to take one final time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go anywhere. When we come back, it's Telestrator time. Our John Harris gets the X's and O's from the man himself, head coach Bill O'Brien. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. As promised, time now for Texans Telestrator. And for that, we send it out to John Harris, who's breaking it all down with head coach Bill O'Brien.
What a win for the Houston Texans on Sunday against the Washington Redskins, 17-6. And we are here to break down one of the key plays from that game. I am football analyst and sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, John Harris. And my guest, well, I would suppose he needs no introduction, but I will introduce him anyways. I think I owe him this after 20 years of knowing him. The head coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien. Coach, congratulations. Great win.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for having me here.
Coach, we're going to take a look at the one offensive touchdown you scored, and I know there'll be more in the future, but you had set this up. This is DeAndre Hopkins' 77-yard catch. Before this play, you had three zone runs. You got into a little bit up-tempo, and then you set it up here. Alfred Blue's now in the game for Aaron Foster. Kind of talk us through this play, if you don't mind.
Okay, you're exactly right, Johnny. We had run the ball out of this formation about two or three plays in a row, and this is a running formation and a running personnel grouping. You know, it's basically Detroit personnel for us. And this play comes off of our outside zone play. And so it's important that anytime we go into a game that we have some type of play-action pass off of that outside zone play. This is the one we chose for this game. This is Sprint 238 F Laser. So basically, when we run this play, we're thinking that we're going to probably get post safety coverage. In this case, we actually got split safety coverage. The safety came down here, the strong safety came down low to the YY side, and now you have DeAndre able to get through the middle of the field. We have great protection on this play, which is really important, and Fitzy's able to hit DeAndre across the field, and then he makes a great move on Rambo there to finish the play.
All right, Coach, let's take a look from the end zone view where you can really see Bakari Rambo right here, number 24, gets sucked up into the box. He was playing for Brandon Merriweather. I don't know if that was a focus for you, but I had said it before the game. That was one of my keys to the game. Bakari Rambo, not having played a lot back there,
right,
thought he might be a focus for you. And you can see from the end zone shot that he really bites on that play fake and then gets turned around in the secondary.
Right. Again, it's a split safety coverage. So split safety meaning you have Rambo over here to the right and you have a weak safety outside the hash marks. And he's playing low because we've been running the ball to this side. So we're able to take advantage of his aggressiveness on the running play. We have great protection here. You see all the guys really getting a hat on a hat, and Fitzy has all kind of time to sit back there and read it out. And DeAndre does a really nice job of continuing his route, gets a great ball from Fitz, and DeAndre does the rest.
And you can see, and this was the moment that we knew that Rambo was in trouble, as he starts back and starts going across the field. He does not find DeAndre on this play. He just seemingly ran right past him, right about at the logo, and didn't see him. I don't know what he saw, but he didn't see him, and DeAndre ended up running right past him.
What happens is a lot of times on those plays, Johnny, is when the safety comes up to protect the run, to go, you know, play the run, the receiver ends up getting into his blind spot, and he can't see him in his blind spot.
All right, after DeAndre makes a big play, Fitzy makes a big play, special teams comes to the forefront, and Alfred Blue, the rookie, ends up with a huge block. I'm sure Bob Lugaszewski had a nice night after this one. Coach, why don't you take us through the block right here? We can see Alfred right there on the edge, on the far edge, right there, and he's going to end up making a nice play. Coach, take us through this pump block.
Well, like you said, it was a really good example of complementary football because Hopkins scores on the long touchdown pass, and our defense has a really good stand, and now the Redskins have to punt from deep in their own territory. So if you go to the end zone shot here, Johnny, you'll see where Jeff Tarpinian actually is the one that really makes the play here for Blue. If you watch Jeff Tarpinian here, he goes right into that B gap, and he's able to draw the tackle's block, which opens up the C gap for Alfred Blue. And then we coached all week that this guy was a lefty punter, so that Alfred goes right to the left foot and takes it right off his foot. It's a great job by Alfred Blue of doing that, and a really good job of Jeff Tarpinian doing his job too. Two guys working well together right there.
Coach, appreciate your time. All this you can see at NFL.com, Game Rewind. You can get the regular broadcast, you can get the condensed version, and you can get all 22 coaches' film right there at NFL.com. Coach, appreciate it. Best of luck in Oakland. We'll do this next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right, great stuff from those guys. That's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, but be sure to tune in on Sunday, 2 o'clock p.m., Texans Countdown Live. We'll be live from Oakland bringing you all the latest updates, news, and features. And then be sure to flip right back on over to Fox Sports Southwest for Texans Wrap Live, where we are breaking down what is hopefully another Houston Texans win. Have a great week.
30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Houston, 76 yards.